Hey guys, welcome back to the Freedom Podcast. I know it's been a couple of months since we've recorded, but we're back and we'll be having shows more regularly. There's just been a lot of life that's been happening, and but we're so excited to be back and just talk today about women's health, healthy hormones, fertility, longevity, kind of just things that have changed over the years as we've transitioned out of, you know, being competitive athletes to just, I guess, regular life and lifting. And I know that you guys probably all know that Katie and Jake are expecting their first. So we thought perfect topic to talk about because, yeah, I mean, it's really exciting that you guys are expecting your first. And I'm so excited for you guys. And we thought it'd be fun just to talk about just like how our perspectives have changed with health and wellness, especially now as you're preparing to have a baby. I know that your perspective on things have probably changed mm-hmm. and things that you're doing have probably changed. So I guess we can kind of just jump in and talk about like what you're doing and where you're at. And then I'll kind of share my journey with my hormonal issues that I've dealt with since I was a child. So yeah, we can just jump in there.
Well, and I love that we're both passionate about this because I think it's something that, praise God, has become more common like in the fitness circles and in the fitness industry at large and on social media. And in even I've seen in a lot of women's movements too, like finally talking about hormonal health and our cycles and just why am I not having regular periods? Why am I having fertility issues? All these questions that I actually was talking to a couple of friends the other day. And I was like, I actually have some righteous anger because I feel like this is a topic that was just completely disregarded in middle school when you start to get your cycle, most women. And then in high school and in college and beyond, I was never educated, even by my doctors, even by the health professionals like in my life. And honestly, the most education I got came from my dad, praise God, and my mom. But my dad had a medical expertise because he is a pharmacist. And so I would go to him with questions and it's like, shouldn't I have been educated by at least a few more women? And we talk about this. So I think it's amazing that women are finally just talking about this in more depth. And then also talking about maybe some of the things that they did wrong. And doctors are also too, we have a lot of these holistic doctors who are taking a stand against certain dangerous things that have been going on in the healthcare industry for a long time that have affected our fertility. And so I think it's amazing. And I am so excited too, because I think our struggles in our 20s with a lot of hormonal challenges and having been high level athletes and having hormonal issues, a lot of those struggles that we've walked through, we can now help the next generation not have to go through the same thing, which I'm so passionate about, because I think the 20-something, the, you know, teenager 20-something, like this is such a great time for them to be empowered, informed, and actually learn about the body, learn about how God created women and be better for it and not walk through kind of some of the struggles that we experienced in our 20s. And so I'm super excited. I mean, obviously, as you just said, I am pregnant. So that has been a journey in itself. That is for sure. But I guess kind of as a little summation in terms of where I've come from. So as early as middle school, I struggled with my hormones. So middle school, I lost my cycle actually about probably 6 months to a year after I got it because of overexercising. I was a track runner and I was very conscious of my weight because I always was a little bit taller, a little bit heavier, needed to be light for running. So that's kind of when it all started. And then throughout college, had horrible skin issues that was definitely related to my period irregularity and some disordered eating patterns that I had. And then getting post-college, finally regulating my cycle and eating a more whole food-based diet. But then with competing and being very lean, had some hormonal issues there. And it's just been a journey. And since I've had a lot of struggles, I feel like I have a lot of insight as far as what not to do, things that have helped in terms of repairing a regular menstrual cycle, and also some of these struggles that a lot of women go through. Yeah. And most recently, optimizing my fertility because I desire to be a mom. I desire to be a mom, and praise God, I now am one. But it really was something that God placed on my heart in probably we got married in 2022. So like end of 2022, I just thought I need to be preparing my body as best as possible. And so there were a couple of changes that I did have to make in that regard. So we'll kind of dig into that, but that's a little bit of my background and history and all of the struggles.
Yeah. And it is so true. Like, I think like kind of what you're saying, no one was talking about this. Like when we were growing up and stuff, like, I am so grateful for my parents because my family was always like kind of the weird family who always ate healthy. Like we never had packaged food. I never saw soda in my house. We always ate like just whole foods. And I hated it because like I didn't get to bring like a Lunchable to school or something like that after homeschooling, when I did finally go back to school. But now I appreciate it so much more because my parents were a little bit like ahead of their time, I would say, because when I got my period, I think I was like 12, maybe 13. I was same. I had irregular periods. I had either horrible periods or no period. And we couldn't figure out what was wrong. We went to the doctor. My doctor said, yeah, just put her on birth control. I was 13 at the time. My parents were like, no. And thank God they did, because we'll probably get into the pill a little bit later in this episode. But I was so grateful that they did, because my dad just started researching like all of my symptoms. And we ended up finding out that I had PCOS and I had all the symptoms. We got checked and it was confirmed. And PCOS, I know everyone knows what it is now because it's so common, but polycystic ovarian syndrome. And it's just, you have abnormal periods. And I was the same. I had a lot of skin issues. Like people never believe me, but I was like pizza face, acne, thin hair, like, you know, horrible periods or no period. Like it was really bad. So pretty much ignored it all through high school, outside of my parents just having me like eat healthier and, you know, exercise. Like we didn't really know like supplementation. So then finally, when I got into college, my dad started doing more research because he's like the holistic king. We always say he missed his calling. He should have just been like a naturopathic doctor because he's insane. Like he'll research for days and days and days on one thing. So then got into college, gained a lot of weight, mainly from just not taking care of my body. And then I lost my period again in college for a couple of years. And then finally kind of powerlifting is what brought it back, similar of just like getting, you know, just paying attention to like my protein intake. And then I started taking like supplements and just finding ways to regulate my period. And really it was through nutrition, losing weight and lifting is really what helped. And then I had to kind of fine tune as the years went on. Now into my 30s, I've noticed like a huge hormonal shift that happens where I have to be a lot more on top of everything, because if I'm not, like I will lose my period, or if I'm stressed or whatever it is. So yeah, like all throughout from 13 to 25, 26, I remember always dealing with irregular periods. And it was so normal for me to go a couple years without a period, and I would get it back and then I would lose it. And, you know, it was just like this yo-yo back and forth. And, you know, everyone's saying like, oh yeah, like, you know, that's just what happens. You have PCOS. And I was always told you probably won't ever have kids, and you probably will never have a regular period, and you probably will never be able to lose weight, and like all these things. And thank God, like my dad was so on top of it and like was like, no, you need to be like taking these supplements or try like, you know, topical progesterone, and, you know, make sure you're eating a lot of protein, and like just all these things that were so helpful. And then realizing like my parents, like you need to cut out plastics and you need to like just so many things that you like have to do. And I know it can be overwhelming at first when you first start, because it's like, okay, am I doing everything wrong? But I think like you can start by just supporting your hormones in a way of like eating cleaner, make sure you have protein, balance, you know, your blood sugar, but also get rid of like plastics. Like I know people think that it's the dumbest thing, but it does really affect your hormones. Like drink out of glass, drink out of stainless or not stainless steel. I don't know what kind of steel they use for that, but don't drink out of plastic, basically. And then eliminate packaged foods, fast food, you know, seed oils. There's so many things you could do, but just start with your diet and then you can start supplementing. But that's kind of where I started. Like, powerlifting really changed the trajectory of my health and wellness journey because I was able to put on a lot of muscle on my body, which also helped with keeping just my body weight more regular because, you know, you're not struggling so much because your muscle just is, you know, working for you versus, you know, fat, I would say, like, kind of works more against you. So yeah, like, and just like lowering my exposure to chemicals and fragrances and just, I guess there's so many things, but for me, it's more normal because my parents have been doing that for so long. Like, they were the weird people who still to this day wash their clothes with like white vinegar and baking soda, like since I was a kid. And I'm like, oh, like this smells like baking soda. But now I'm so grateful because I'm that same person now. But they were definitely ahead of their time, I will say. And it's funny, like, I don't really know. I don't think growing up we ate organic because I don't really know if that was like a thing, but we always did like, you know, natural, and we always would go to Trader Joe's or Sprouts or whatever health food store. My parents were always in health food stores growing up. And now I'm grateful for that because they really laid this foundation to where now I got into all of that and I'm so grateful because it has helped. I'm not saying like my hormones are perfect, but it was a start for me where I was like, okay, I have to figure this out because you need to have your period every month. You need to be ovulating every month. Not even if you want to have kids or you don't, like for your long-term health. And I'll get into like my mom's hormones and stuff later because it's been like a gnarly journey for her. But for overall health, like you have to make sure that your hormones are healthy or you're going to suffer later, especially after menopause and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think too, a lot of times we get overwhelmed because we see like these crunchy accounts online and they're so extreme that it is overwhelming and it's not realistic. And I call myself a crappy crunchy or I hashtag crappy crunchy because I would get kicked out of all the crunchy communities, but at the same time, I try to be holistic in ways that I can. And I think we tend to think of lifestyle changes. We overestimate what we can do in the short term. Like we think we have to just like make all these changes, but then we underestimate like how much these little changes can add up in the long run. So I think switching that mentality and thinking small, incremental, little lifestyle changes add up to a tremendous change overall. And so, like you said, like just swapping out your favorite container that you drink out of, making it a stainless steel that you carry around in your car, whatever it may be. Yeah. Don't microwave things in plastic. That's one of the worst things you can do.
Yeah.
In terms of microplastics and endocrine disruptors and the microwave. And so microwave in glass and try to eliminate artificial fragrances from your beauty care. Use up your beauty care that you have, but then the new ones that you purchase, implement some fragrance-free options. And then you'll soon find that it starts to become a part of your lifestyle. And it doesn't mean you have to be perfect, like nothing's perfect, but small changes can make a big difference. And I think too, a lot of these crunchy accounts focus on all of these small, minuscule, little hyper, you know, like these very small little things that they like hyper-focus on, but then they aren't lifting, they aren't exercising, they aren't, you know, doing some of these things that maybe actually will make a huge impact on your health. And so I'd echo what you said about the importance of lifting and making sure that you are resistance training. Essential, especially as we get into our 30s and we start to lose muscle mass as the years go on without resistance training. And you can prevent that. You can prevent muscle breakdown by lifting weights. And I will say too, like from a personal perspective, that was something that just shifted my mindset when it came to food and it came to properly fueling my body. I've seen so many women in not only my coaching, but also in my, you know, I think 10, 15 years ago, girls that just constantly are over-exercising, constantly are under-eating or then binging, maybe struggle with, you know, following these fad diets that they lose 20 pounds and they gain 30. And it's not consistent. It's these fad diets, low-fat diets. Low-fat diets are horrible for your hormonal health.
Oh, yeah.
Over-dieting, over-cardio, doing too much cardio, not lifting weights. And once you can kind of break free from that typical like female struggle of doing too much cardio, not eating enough protein, not eating enough fat, that like basics of nutrition, eating, like you said, whole foods, organic if possible, getting exercise, resistance training, getting outside, getting sunlight exposure, vitamin D, improving your sleep, making sure you're limiting like your screen exposure before bed to make sure you're getting an optimal circadian you're getting your circadian rhythm in a good place. So all of these small things, I mean, obviously we could make a podcast about every single one of those topics in detail, but like just thinking about, you know, these basics, these basic tenets. Okay, what is it that maybe is a struggle and how can you incrementally improve those things day by day instead of thinking of like, oh my gosh, I have to overhaul my entire lifestyle right now. That's not realistic. That's not sustainable. But I'd say first and foremost, if you're not resistance training or exercising, that needs to be number one. If you're doing too much of that, then scaling back on potentially, usually it's cardio that women tend to overdo. And then making sure you're incorporating protein and healthy fats and vegetables and organic sources where you can, grass-fed. And then the proper supplementation for your needs. And that's going to vary from person to person. But it is something that I think, especially with our over-processed diet in America, we tend to be nutrient deficient. And we were actually talking about this before we before we even started recording, nutrient deficiencies can also lead to infertility issues. And so making sure that your supplementation is appropriate for your needs, for maybe your deficiencies that you work with a specialist on. And that's why I'd recommend every single person to find a holistic doctor or pharmacist that they trust who can help them pick out the right supplementation for them. Because it is going to be very different from person to person as well.
For sure. Yeah, it is. And the thing that's so crazy to me is like we were kind of talking about earlier is that sometimes you'll go just to your OB and, you know, you think that like, okay, they're going to recommend all these things and they're just going to give me just, you know, the path to pregnancy or even just your regular doctor. And a lot of the times they're not actually educated in that realm. So they're not going to be specialized in that. There's so many amazing like fertility doctors that even if you don't want to buy anything from them, like, or like pay for their services, there's so many resources book wise or podcast wise that you can get that really change like the way that you view hormones. And if you don't have like, as a woman, if you don't have the basic understanding of how your cycle works when you're ovulating, things like that, I definitely recommend getting books. And we made like a whole list of books and podcasts that and devices that like help with those things. And one of my most favorite podcasts right now is the Wise Traditions podcast by Hilda Gore through the Weston A. Price Foundation. They're all about like holistic health, not just fertility, but just how to like be like, it's more like ancestral eating and living, but they have a lot of podcasts on like fertility and things to eliminate. So if you are someone like me, I love listening to things. I learn best through like audio and visual. So that is a good one. And then Birthing Instincts is hands down probably my favorite. This is all birth stories, the Birthing Instincts, but Dr. Stu goes through data every single podcast and studies, and he breaks down like things that are wrong with like Western medicine. And then he gives like, he's all about like natural birth and home birth and stuff like that. But he just like goes through things of like, okay, this is what they're doing wrong in hospitals. This is what we do in our practice, you know, and stuff like that. So really interesting. I know you have a bunch that you wrote down too. My favorite book, if you're like wanting to get pregnant, it's a period repair manual, and then Beyond the
Pill. That's one of my favorites. It's you, so you recommended good. That to me. And I was experiencing just some strange 30-somethings hormonal changes. And you recommended that book, and I started implementing a lot of the supplementation that she recommended, some of the lifestyle changes. And I went from having a little bit more irregular cycle to it was very regular, like pretty soon after that. So within a couple months. So that's definitely one that I recommend, the period repair manual.
Yeah. Yep. That one's probably my favorite. And these are by doctors. So a lot of women are specialized in that realm, which is really important. And I always say I have no issue with male doctors, but you are not a woman, so you don't experience the things that we go through and you can't relate as well. Like that's just like, that's just the reality of the thing, which is completely fine. And those are like some of my favorites. And then we've even talked about just fertility trackers and things like that, that really help. And I guess, do you want to share kind of your story on the fertility trackers? Cause there's so many different ones, but share your experience because, you know, fertility trackers aren't God, but they are helpful in,
for sure,
in a way.
Yeah. I also want to plug Alex Clark and her podcast, The Spillover, because she has really given me like such a variety. She's not an expert in fertility or health. She's not a doctor, but she is so good at interviews and bringing people on, different doctors. And I've learned so much. And she's opened my eyes to different subjects to then where I do a little bit more digging. Yeah. And so she's awesome. The Spillover by Alex Clark. And she actually turned me on to one of my favorite doctors to follow, Dr. Leah Gordon. She is a holistic minded doctor who specifically focuses on fertility and has a course I think women can take. And she has a podcast called Healthy as a Mother. I learned a lot about low progesterone on that podcast and also through her page. And she also does it with another, or she records with another doctor as well. And they're very holistically minded and approach women's health from a very, I think, balanced perspective too. So I really enjoy listening to them. And she has definitely helped me in terms of looking for certain brands of supplementation. Yeah. Also, I'll just plug my dad. My dad has been so great to help me figure out, like, just from a pharmacist perspective, he knows all the like third-party testing standards, guidelines, and all of that. And so making sure that the supplements that you do choose are third-party tested and from a reputable brand, and make sure they're clinically dosed and they're in the most bioavailable forms. And those are things you can dig into as you start to learn more and everything. But that can be really important. If you're taking really low quality supplements from just any Amazon brand, you really don't know what you're getting. Unfortunately, I would recommend making sure that the brand and the company is reputable and is third-party tested and is not just some random brand you found on Amazon that's the cheapest that you can get. Be careful because that's not regulated in Amazon. Unfortunately, there have been cases and things that have happened where people think they're taking a supplement with something in it. It's a proprietary blend and it actually is laced with something else. So you just want to make sure that you're careful when it comes to supplementation because it's not closely regulated as well. It's not something that, you know, it's kind of like the wild, wild west. So I just wanted to say that. But yeah, fertility, actually, this is very interesting. So I have kind of a interesting personal testimony about getting blood work done and tracking and all of these things that I wanted to share and to maybe give someone hope who is a little bit discouraged and feeling frustrated. So rewind back to last fall, I got a hormone panel done, very comprehensive. And I would recommend that you definitely, if you're listening to this, it's a great idea to get blood work done from time to time and make sure you're working too with someone who can guide you on what to test because there's so many different things that you can test.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of times, like general doctors just will say, oh, yeah, like just get these five things done and you're good. And then if you're having hormone problem, it's like, no, you have to dig it deeper. For example, I was having thyroid issues. I mean, this was a long time ago, but you can't just test your TSH. You also have to test T3, T4, your thyroid antibodies, like all of these different things. And you would, it's much more complicated than just sometimes doctors, normal doctors who don't have a holistic perspective would have you think. So that's something to find a doctor who will advocate for what you need tested and do it in a proper manner. But I got these tests done and I was a little bit discouraged because my progesterone came back very low. Well, then I talked to my dad and we ended up figuring out that I actually measured my progesterone at the wrong time of the month. Mm-hmm. I realized that I was ovulating actually later than I thought, or that's what I discovered. And so then I got it retested and okay, it actually encouraged me because it was much higher. And so I think that's something to keep in mind too, is blood work is a snapshot, but our hormones are constantly fluctuating, undulating, especially as women. We are so dynamic in terms of our hormones and our levels and all of these different things that you can't just test once and take that as 100% truth, because at times there can also be false readings. There can also be some different things that impact where you're at the time that you get your, let's say, progesterone measured. So for example, your progesterone is going to peak right after you ovulate. So making sure that you're working with a professional who can help guide you on that, I think is really important, because I got these tests done and I was like, oh my gosh, my progesterone is nothing. And that's a really important hormone for fertility. Yes. And it actually wasn't. So just making sure you're not looking at science and numbers as God, because ultimately God is in control. And that is something too, that as a believer, as a Christian, I need to remember that I have a tendency to worship, if I'm not careful, to idolize worship numbers, tests, science, research, all of these things above God. Like I put it as like, that's the truth. Well, science is questioning the science actually. And there's many studies and findings that have actually, we have now through science, through different trials and different studies have found that actually we were very wrong. And so I think it's important to remember that it's dynamic and it's not something that should be put on the throne of our heart to make us so, you know, just our emotions just constantly whip emotional whiplash based on maybe one number. And I'm speaking from experience because I've let that happen in my own life. And so then one of the fertility measures that I used was an Nito, I think that's how you pronounce it. Fertility. Anito. I think I spelled that wrong on our notes. And it measures progesterone through urine, estrogen, LH, and FSH. So that's a great way actually to, I think one thing that it really helped me to understand is, oh, I actually ovulate at a later point in the month than I thought I did. Yeah. But then once again, I'm going to say it was a little bit inaccurate because it at one point showed that I wasn't ovulating, but then I actually was pregnant then the next month. So I think, you know, all of this information is great. Like that gadget, that fertility monitor helped me understand when I ovulated, but it wasn't 100% accurate as far as confirmation of that ovulation and all of these things. So taking all of this data, remembering it's a tool, and then ultimately putting it at the feet of Jesus and then recognizing, okay, God is in control. Ultimately, He is the one who has written our children's lives before they are even born, before they're in our womb, who creates us in our mother's womb, who creates our children in our womb. We're not the ones who are ultimately in control of these things. And so we can do what we can. There's a lot of things that we make changes and make an impact, but ultimately God is God and we are not. And I think sometimes this advanced science makes us feel like we are God and we're not. And so remembering, like, praise God for all of this science, for all of these measurements, for all of these tools, because it ultimately is from Him. But remembering too, like putting it in perspective of God is God, I am not, and I'm not ultimately in control of everything. He is sovereign. So keeping that balanced perspective, I think, is very, very important, especially as women, when we can get very emotional based on test results or based on what we think is going on within our body.
Right.
Instead of actually turning to the Lord and praying and getting on our knees and actually asking Him, show me what to do, as opposed to what can I do in my own might and have an iron grip of control. And that's something I was convicted of. And the Lord clearly, through the series of events convicted me of was I was like my fists were tight on optimizing my fertility, and I was so stressed out that I was actually probably lowering my progesterone by how stressed out I was.
Yeah.
And just all of these things of like trying to make everything perfect. And then I found out I was pregnant, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, God's in control. Like he just humbled me ultimately. And it was something I needed, because you are pregnant and you realize how little control you have over the entire pregnancy and in terms of the baby and their growth. And it's a miracle. And so keeping that in mind, this is all amazing. All of these things, learning, being empowered, but ultimately, like, who is on the throne of our heart? Our control or Jesus and the Lord?
No, definitely. And the thing that is so cool is that God has given us the ability to now track and do all these things. But like you were saying, like when science becomes your God, like you think that you have so much more control than you do. And I do think it's so important. I know we both do. We think it's so important to be educated, because it does do us a disservice if we're not understanding the way our body works, or understanding when you're ovulating, or understanding if you're not ovulating and you're someone who's trying to get pregnant, but you're not ovulating, like you're not going to get pregnant. And just basic things that we need to understand. And it can be overwhelming, I think, for a lot of people, but surrendering that to the Lord, being like, listen, like, God, this is like the desires of my heart, but I know that, you know, whatever plan you have for me, it is good. And, you know, like you said, doing what you can and being responsible. And, you know, we had a whole episode on like stewarding our time and our finances and our health well. And this is like another component of that as well. And to throw in a couple other devices, the Anito is really great because it does track all of your levels, like you were talking about. Mm-hmm. One that I more recently found is Keg, and it's like an insertable, like a daily insertable, like it's like the shape of an egg, and it measures like your cervical fluid and then tests like your cervical fluid, and it can test like all of those things too, like all of your different levels. And then Daisy Fertility Tracker, I don't really know if people use the basal body temperature anymore to track their fertility, because it's probably, I would say, like not the most consistent. I don't know, it's based off your body and if you are ovulating. Spike and
It does. I have an Oura ring, and actually that's one thing that was very accurate for when I did ovulate was my basal body temperature. So it can be a good measure if you don't afford
maybe a test or something like that. All these other ones, that's like kind of what people were always like using. And the Daisy Fertility Tracker has been around for forever now. And that's all basal body temperature. If you can remember to roll over first thing and like, you know, or now you have a wearable, which is, I feel like, way better than remembering to do your temperature every morning. But so
nice.
Yeah, people really like those rings. I am like an iWatch person. So I'm like, do I want to get a ring? Like just for tracking other things? Maybe I will. I don't know. I'm like, I have too many wearables at this point. I need to pick one. But because I feel like I try every wearable and I'm like, oh, just to try it. I know everyone was into those Whoop straps and I absolutely hated that thing. Very expensive as well. Hated it. It's literally sitting in my drawer right now. I should sell it. But anyway, so if anyone wants a Whoop thing for sale.
DM Lex.
Yes. But yeah, no, but it is so true. Ultimately, God is in control, but understanding like what you can do and supplementation. And I kind of wrote down like some of my pillars of health for like optimizing my fertility and then also optimizing just like overall health. So I guess I'll kind of run through these so people can kind of take what you need and leave the rest, I guess. So I know you and I are like, you know, all about our daily sunlight and daily walks. And if you can walk every day, great. If you can't, like, you know, try to get 3 to 5 walks in. I try to get at least 5 in. Just work schedule wise, it's kind of gnarly, but 5 is like my ultimate goal. Another one I put down is cook your own food. Like, don't eat out of packages. I don't eat really anything packaged unless it's like a protein bar because I forgot to like eat breakfast or something. I'll like grab one on the way to work. But I think that's like a big thing, like moving over to, my parents were also the people who always cooked on cast iron, since like we've had this like 25-year-old cast iron pan. And I laugh because it was so normal for me. And then cast iron became cool. And like everyone's like, oh, how do you treat a cast iron pan? I was like, I don't know. We've had this thing for 25 years. So it's nonstick now because my dad like oils it every week and like, you know, does all this stuff. But that's what we grew up on. So I didn't know any like the nonstick stuff. My dad, I swear, he is so ahead of his time. He was like, nonstick is bad. Like all the, I think it's like Teflon or whatever they put on it, bad. Yeah. We've always used cast iron. Like my whole life, that was very normal for us. I always say magnesium glycinate is what I prefer to take at night. It's such like a great thing just for sleep and, you know, making sure you're like, you're lowering your stress and getting good sleep. Make sure you're sleeping 7+ hours. I feel like I like to sleep between 8 and 9 because I love my sleep, but getting your sleep in will really help regulate your hormones as well. I feel like that's like such a big thing that people don't take into account because it's so simple. Like you can do all the supplements, but if you're not sleeping and eating whole foods, like don't even take the supplements because you're not doing anything. Like, you're just trying to like offset the bad behaviors with supplementation. It's not going to work. Like supplements are called supplements for a reason because it's supplemental to a healthy lifestyle. So I always like want to put that in as a little caveat. Like people don't understand that. We talked about lifting already. You should be resistance training 2 times a week, I would say minimum, but if you can go 4 to 5 days, great. For me, I usually sit between 3 to 4 days a week that I like to lift still. Even though I don't post it, I do still lift. Protein at every meal. I know we both love high protein diets. I mean, I usually sit between like 165 and 200 grams of protein a day. For some people, that's like, oh my gosh, that's so much, but it is so essential. Like if you're not getting your protein in, like that's the one thing that you could do for sure. Yeah, managing stress, non-toxic products we've talked about are so important. And I just want to tell a quick story about my mom. So my mom went through menopause a couple years ago. And if anything, it was probably the worst menopause of her entire, or it like, I've never seen someone struggle as much as she has. So until recently, I won't even go into her full story, but she has struggled so much where she ended up developing like food allergies where she couldn't eat anything. She was like throwing up. She was like gaining weight rapidly, but she wasn't eating, not sleeping through the night for days. Like she wouldn't sleep for days and days and days because her hormones are so low. Like, you know, you don't have hormones after menopause. Mm-hmm. And she had so many symptoms like headaches, nausea, fatigue, like all these things. So until recently, she actually she finally found a good functional doctor where she's doing hormone replacement therapy. And I think a lot of people don't talk enough about that. And she always had horrible periods when she was younger and all these things. And she had a lot of issues hormonally where it affected her so much. So I think if you're doing the right things in your 20s and 30s, you can kind of avoid having such a horrible experience in menopause. Because seeing her struggle, like last year, it was probably the saddest thing ever because like she couldn't eat anything. She was tired all the time. Just, you know, headaches for days where she couldn't even leave bed, like just worst of worst. Like I can't even explain to you. And then finally, now she has an amazing functional doctor who has her on, you know, progesterone, estrogen, and testosterone. She has to supplement all of those things. But like she's a whole new woman now where she's back to her normal self. Mm-hmm. And praise God, because I mean, just on top of having all these hormonal issues, it was causing a lot of depression and issues because you have no hormones, your body's like all out of whack. You can't eat anything. You have no energy, like just horrible seeing her go through that. So praise the Lord, like that she finally, after running through doctors, finally found someone who listened to her and gave her the things that she needs. Because in Europe, you can very easily get all of all of these hormones where you can't as easily here. So I'm like, that is such a big thing, you know, and I'm all over the place, but testing your hormones is a huge thing. And I found this website, if you don't want to go through like your doctor, if your doctor isn't testing the things that you need, it's called functionhealth.com. And they test like 100 different like all, and not just hormones, but like all of like your health stuff, but they do it through urine, blood, and saliva testing. But you can get like everything you need. It's very comprehensive, like 100+ tests, and they test you twice a year. So if you need someone, or if you don't have insurance, you don't have good insurance, I highly recommend going through them. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Private MD Labs is another one I've used in the past to order different things when my doctor won't, or, and it's a little bit more affordable too.
Okay.
But yeah. I mean, all of those things you mentioned, 100%. The only thing I guess I would focus on too, I think, or kind of, you know, just like reiterate, is what stress can do to our hormones and our bodies. And I think a lot of times we do all the right things, you know, we're exercising, we're eating right, we're sleeping, blah, blah, blah. But then if we're constantly firing on all cylinders, burning the candle at both ends, not resting, not having time for our spiritual life, for quiet, for solitude, for prayer, for, you know, these things that really nourish our souls, but then also help with, believe it or not, like God created the body so that our body, when we have all of that in balance, actually reacts positively and we see these positive effects. And so I think making sure that really evaluating your lifestyle and the pace that you run at, and is it something that needs to be adjusted a little bit? So we live in a hustle culture, and more seems to be worshipped, almost like more is better. And that's not the case at all. We're human beings, not human doings. And being stressed out, no matter what your body comp is, no matter how healthy you're eating, excess stress can cause a lot of issues. And so I think it's important to keep in mind that God created us in such a way that we're dynamic, and we can make these changes and see improvements by just little tweaks, but then also at the same time remembering, like, how did he create a human to be? He created us to be in community, to be in relationship, to be in communion with him. And so if those things are off balanced, or, you know, out of whack and not balanced, then all of these supplements that we talked about, all these tests, really are not going to be as helpful as they could be without that first and foremost being a priority. So I think that is something that I wish in the past I would have been told when I was 20, because a lot of times issues in my life came from an imbalance in my lifestyle and my spiritual life as well. So that is definitely an important thing to make sure that you're checking yourself on.
And women are like super, super sensitive to stress, because I know as soon as I'm extremely stressed, the first thing that leaves is my period. Like, that it's just like, okay, bye. Like, you're gone. Like, you're not able to, you know, you're so stressed that your body is like, probably having a kid right now, when, I mean, not that I am, but, you know, probably having a kid right now wouldn't be the best thing. So that's why your body reacts in certain ways, because, you know, it knows what you need, and listening to your body. And also, I want to make a little note before we wrap up. If you have a doctor that you don't like, or who is not listening to you, go find a different one, or get recommendations from someone, or find what's going on in your state and just get plugged into like naturopathic doctors and things like that. Because I think a lot of the times people just settle with whatever their doctor says. Oh, sorry, you can't get pregnant. And I always say that God created our bodies to have babies. And there's a lot of now environmental things that are going on that are affecting our fertility. So if you have a doctor that is not listening to you, that you don't like, go find someone else. We listed a lot of resources, and I will put in, we made an entire list of books and podcasts and gadgets, like I said. So that will be, I'll post it on our Instagram, but I'll also post it in the show notes, so you guys can go and find those resources if you're someone who is just wanting to learn more, or someone who you and your husband are trying to get pregnant and things like that. I think that these resources have helped us so much, even with just balancing our hormones before babies were even, you know, in our brains and stuff like that. So, and just, I know for you, like, I still remember when you were telling me, like, yeah, we're going to start, like, trying to have a baby. And, you know, the things that you had to go through to, you know, get to that point, I think is what a lot of women are experiencing now, which is not normal. But, you know, society is starting to make it normal. Like, oh, yeah, like, you know, having, you know, a hard time getting pregnant or having miscarriages or this or that. And I'm like, that's not normal. Like, this is not, women didn't have that issue just, you know, 40, 50 years ago. So there's things going on. And if we can offset those things and we can educate ourselves about our body and, you know, and bringing that to the Lord and surrendering that to the Lord, ultimately, you know, I'm not saying, oh yeah, just if you do these things, you're going to get pregnant. But I think that a lot of these things can help. And like you said, God is ultimately sovereign over all things, and surrendering that and releasing that stress and that grip, I think will be just so helpful for so many people. So
yeah,
that's our hot take on fertility and pregnancy and all that good stuff. So we could go on for forever, I feel like, about this topic because it's so,
I know. Yeah. There's a lot of different things out there, and also remembering too that we're not ultimate truth either. So making sure that you're constantly just having a perspective of question things and do your own research and find people you trust and ultimately give it to God.
Amen to that. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us again for another episode. I know it's been so long, but we will be back onto our regular scheduled programming. And we'll see you guys in a couple weeks for another episode. Bye.
Bye.